At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I want to thank you for being here on a Friday afternoon with us. A nice August Friday day here in St. Louis. And August in St. Louis is always a really interesting time for the baseball season. A lot of times it's make or break here in the city. And our next guest, I'm excited to talk to, Mitch Harris, joins us. He's a former Navy lieutenant, and you likely remember his name as a St. Louis Cardinal. Mitch, it's an honor to have you on the show. Was your first game as a St. Louis Cardinal, was it at home?
I wish. My debut was in Milwaukee. But man, I would have loved to run out there as my debut in Busch.
I remember going to a game at Busch Stadium, Mitch, and I remember your story. Now, a huge military supporting family. I've taught my kids to, my husband and I, we care about if the folks at Walmart are wearing the veteran hat or whatever, thank those people for their service. And we want to obviously thank you for yours as well. But your story was so unique because you were the first Naval Academy graduate to appear in Major League Baseball in like 100 years. What was that like?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's funny. I didn't even understand or even realize that until, you know, I got called up, and then, you know, being able to bring up Nemo Gaines' name again is special. You know, that's who did it last with the Washington Senators in 1921. And just to be a part of history like that is special.
It is. And it made an impact on us. We remembered you from that, and just the amount of gratitude that we had for your service, but also being able to know your story, because I did happen to hear you a little bit on the interview you did with our sister station over at KMOX, and it was a really compelling interview. You were talking about what it was like to sign up to make a commitment, and you have a book out where people can learn all about your story, which is why we wanted to have you here. The book is called My Private War, Relentlessly Chasing a Dream from the Navy to the Major Leagues. Tell us a little bit about your story as you were growing up playing the game, but also maybe having an interest in service.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up playing baseball, throwing the ball with my dad. We grew up here in Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. So I was an Atlanta Braves fan my entire life. And, you know, typical kid that just grows up playing all sports and really enjoying it. And, you know, played in high school, just, you know, your average athlete, fortunate enough to just crazy get to the academy. That's a whole nother story we can talk about here in a little bit. But, man, it was special. It was special to be able to do that. And then, you know, the biggest thing about the whole, you know, book is, you know, Matheny told me, hey, start writing stuff down. And, you know, initially I was like, for what? You know, it's just it's just my story. And he said, you know, this is different. And so I started writing it down. And, you know, years later, what got, you know, the fire kind of lit under me to finish this thing and do this was a buddy of mine, you know, was going through some difficult stuff, just life stuff. And called me and said, hey, man, just you've got a lot going for you. A lot of great things have happened. I just want to kind of talk to you about some things. And I was like, man, I just want you to know, like, it is not as pretty as it seems on the inside. There's a lot of stuff I've had to go through as well. And I realized in those conversations, there's a lot of people that think, you know, people that have success and have gone on to achieve things, sometimes it's just an easy, you know, ride for them. And I wanted to make sure I tell the full story so that people can relate and realize that just because life's difficult or you face obstacles doesn't mean you can't overcome them, doesn't mean that you can become a better person, doesn't mean you can't achieve the things that you want to achieve. And so that's the whole reason I wrote the book.
Yeah, you mentioned here that making it to the big leagues isn't just about talent. It takes grit, sacrifice, and an unshakable belief in yourself and in God's plan, especially when the odds are against you. So a little bit about your story here. Talk to us about competing in baseball. You know, you said you played as a kid, Braves fan and everything. At what point did you think, I have an extra skill here? Like, okay, I'll tell you, Mitch, I have a 15-year-old son, loves baseball, plays it all the time. Sometimes, and he plays other sports, and I'm like, play all the sports, kiddo. You're 15.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But we're very realistic. He's shifted into from, I want to be a professional baseball player, into, I'd maybe like to be a broadcaster. So we're right. Working on it there. But when did you discover, I have a little extra something here?
You know, honestly, it wasn't until my sophomore year in college.
Ooh.
And in high school, I was just a standard athlete. I could play really anywhere that they put me on the field. I didn't stick out in that I was better than anybody on any particular, you know, day or any particular position. But then when I got to the academy, you know, things really started to progress quickly. And I lost 20 pounds my freshman year, gained it all back my sophomore year. And in doing that, I started to get some velocity on the fastball, started really coming to my body. And at that point, I realized, hey, this is actually getting a little bit easier. Ball's coming out easier. It's more free. And then people started to show up at the field that I didn't recognize. And, you know, they had, you know, Major League Baseball team hats on or shirts on or whatever. And I thought, what is this? And, you know, I realized these were scouts coming to see me play. And so that was when I started to realize, like, there's something a little bit more here that I need to start thinking through. And that's when we started trying to figure out what does this mean? You know, because, you know, going into your junior year, you have to sign the 2 for 7, 2 more years of school and then 5 total years of service. And so that was a tough decision because, you know, it was, hey, I had this lifelong dream of playing, you know, professional baseball. But once I got into the academy and understood what service meant, commitment to country, and being able to lead and develop in the leader that I wanted to be and understanding leadership in general, I wanted to do that. I wanted to do both. And we wanted to try to figure out a way to do both at the same time. And unfortunately, we couldn't figure that out during that time. And so ended up doing all 5 years before I got to play. But man, having my grandfathers both in World War II, that was special to have that connection. My father was not in the military. And I think everybody my age, their grandfathers were.
Right.
And so getting to relate with them was amazing. And getting to share stories that, quite frankly, they hadn't told in decades was really cool. And just a special bond I got to share with them. And that even ignited the fire even more to serve and be a part of that.
So you had made a commitment to the Naval Academy and you went there. You're kind of midstream with the Naval Academy and everybody knows. Once you sign up for that, you've made a commitment, one that we have an enormous amount of gratitude for you for being willing to sign up and answer that call. But now you've got this exceptional skill that's got the attention of other people. You said you continued to serve. Now, while you're waiting to get into the majors, what are your responsibilities to the Naval Academy and to the United States Navy in this amount of time?
Yeah. So once you sign that 2 for 7, you're telling them, hey, I'm going to be for 2 more years. I'm going to stay and graduate. And then I'm going to give 5 years of active duty. And at the time, you know, we're right in the middle of war in 2008, 2009. And so, you know, I was surface warfare. And so I got to drive ships for a living. It was amazing. I got to see over 30 countries before I was 26, 3 deployments in 4 years. Got to learn a lot. I was a weapons officer on my first ship and then combat information center officer. And then on my second ship, I was the training officer. So a lot of really cool things that I got to accomplish and do those first few years. But it was the combination of understanding that, man, I still have this goal and dream. And what really was fascinating to me, and it's really kind of what kicked me into, hey, I really want to achieve this, was you know, I always told the guys that were in my division that, hey, if you're in the military for, you know, maybe a stepping stone in your career, a stepping stone in your education, or maybe you just want to be a lifelong, make a career in the military, that's great. But I wanted to understand that so I could help them, you know, and guide them in direction that they were wanting to go. And one night, late nights in combat, you have all kinds of conversations. And one of the guys said to me, he said, you know, Mr. Harris, what's your plan? What's your goal? And I thought, I wasn't ready to answer that question. And from that moment forward, because they knew that I'd been drafted. They knew the situation. And from that moment forward, I basically made a promise to them that I was going to do everything I could to achieve that dream, because it was also their story. I mean, I was a part of what we all did that together. And so that was a driver for me that, all right, if I'm going to have them have a plan, have a goal and strive for that, I've got to do that too, or it's just hypocritical. And so I found a guy on the ship that we would throw on the flight deck during flight ops. He happened to be from the Dominican, so I knew he could play baseball. And so my dad would send out bags of baseballs, and we would throw any opportunity we could.
On a flight deck?
Just to keep, in between flight ops, best we could. It was good for balance, I would say, because I don't know if you try to throw it while you're rocking. It's not the easiest thing to do. But we had a blast doing it.
Do you have photos and videos, or do you have of that? That's got to be surreal to be thinking about your service to the Navy, fulfilling that commitment, and knowing that what you're doing there is very, very purposeful and very important, and to know you've got this this skill kind of on deck, in multiple puns, I suppose, there waiting for
well done.
You, thank you for your write that down. You know, you've got a lot of opportunity in front of you, and to pick one over the other means you'd have to sacrifice away that opportunity, and you chose service, but without letting go of the other thing. It's probably a little harder to spend all of that year, all those years, 7 years, doing something else and come back and still be in professional baseball player shape.
For sure. And again, I think that's why, you know, at the time, the military or the Department of Defense had what they call an early release policy, which allowed you to do 2 years of active duty and then extend your reserve time. Well, obviously, again, being that we were at war at this time, they kind of just put that on hold, which I totally understood. I was just saying, hey, how can we make it work? I'm not going to get any younger, and I can always come back and serve. And so I wanted to make sure when the opportunity presented itself, can I do both? And we just didn't get a good answer on that. And so I just told myself, look, I'm going to keep my body in the best shape that I possibly can. So when I do have the opportunity, all I have to work on is my arm. Because I knew if I kept my body in good shape, I didn't have to worry about it breaking down. I just had to focus on getting my arm back in shape from not throwing so many years. And so that's what happened. You know, I showed up in spring training in 2013. I was grunting, throwing 83, 84, and just trying to figure out how do I get that muscle memory back to getting to do pitching shape and baseball shape. And that was a challenge, to say the least.
So we know a little bit about your service here. If you've just tuned in, we're talking to Mitch Harris, former Navy lieutenant and Major League Baseball player here for the St. Louis Cardinals. I very vividly remember when we were able to see you take the field for the first time at Busch Stadium. What was the commitment for Major League Baseball? Did they know the whole time, like, well, we got this guy and he's pitching to a guy from the Dominican on a flight deck somewhere. We're waiting for him to come back. How did Major League Baseball treat the situation?
So this is where I give the Cardinals so much credit. I mean, this organization means the world to me. And the fact that they put me on their, so they drafted me in 2008. They put me on their military reserve list, meaning that they owned the rights to me, understanding that I had a military commitment. And, you know, when my service time was coming to an end, I basically just called the front office, the connection I had at the time, and just said, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but you drafted me 5 years ago. If you don't mind, I'd love to show up to spring training, you know, and they said, you know, absolutely. If you think you can do it, come on. And we got down there and we did everything we could to try to get this, you know, arm back into shape. And they were so welcoming. It was an interesting first year, to say the least. My first year, I was 27. Ollie Marmel, who was the short season manager, was 26. Carson Kelly was our first round draft pick, or first picked, I should say, in that season. And he was, I think, 17 or 18. So that was a very interesting dynamic that first year, being older than the manager, almost 10 years older than our recent draft pick. But we had a blast. I learned a lot. And it was cool. I had to kind of relearn how to pitch. At 27, having not played for 5 years, but I wouldn't have changed it for the thing. It made me who I am, made me battle a little bit of adversity, which obviously helped me along the way as I climbed the ladder up to the big leagues.
Mitch Harris speaking with us right now. His book is My Private War, and I encourage you to grab this book. It's available on Amazon, on MitchHarris.com. I want to ask you, too, before we have to wrap up, about, you talk about adversity a lot here. The sheet that I have here talks about having an unshakable belief in yourself and God's plan. That makes me think that maybe faith has something to do with getting you through that adversity. But you face a lot of challenges, even though you have a lot of opportunity in front of yourself. There are not many people out there who have done what you've done in life, but I'd imagine the adversity is probably understandable across all professions and walks of life. What is, you know, average Joe, average Jane get out of reading your book, My Private War?
Yeah, I think the obvious is, you know, people think, oh, okay, he's got to face adversity of having to battle the minor leagues and getting to the big leagues. And that's all true. The reason I wanted to write the story and to write the book is because I wanted people to understand the adversities they didn't see, the mental challenges I had to go through, the physical, the spiritual, all the things that I went through during that. When I came off my last deployment, I was married, and things just didn't seem right. And I got home on my 1 year anniversary to someone who basically said, I don't love you anymore, was ran off with someone else. That turned into a spiral, into a rock bottom that I never saw coming. Mm. And it was a challenge, to say the least. And for me, it was a night where I basically had gone to a counselor, and he basically said, hey, you need to write stuff down. And you know, it even got to the point where I packed a duffel bag to just get out of there. It was so devastating as a Christian, not really anticipating having to go through divorce and wondering, all right, God, why in the world do you have this on my plate? Why is this in the plans? And wrestling with that, wrestling with what my belief was, wrestling with my identity. And when I packed that bag, the last thing I packed was a 1911 45 caliber pistol. And I always tell people, the reason I bring that up and I tell people is because I'm not sitting here saying that I was going to commit suicide, but I don't know. I have no idea what the purpose of that was. I just know that my mind was not in the right state. I was not thinking straight. I wasn't clear as to what was going on. I didn't know up from down. And I walked to my truck, just needing to get out and just, you know, get a reboot. And when I got to the truck, went to grab the door handle, and my mom called. And for me, that was, I mean, it wrecked me, and I wasn't okay. And she made sure that, you know, we talked to people and got some help, and again, saw counseling. And finally one night, still kind of battling the things, he asked me to write feelings down, and it wasn't something that I have a good feel for, is journaling. But I said, you know, I've got nothing else to lose. Why not? And so I started writing and writing and writing, and I went back to look at this things that I had written, and I came across a quote that said, it takes courage to face the mountain and strength to climb, but when you reach the summit and see the valley, you realize who you become. Mm. And I thought, wow, where did that come from? I did not write that. I'm not in the state of mind to write that. And at that moment, I just said, all right, God, if you're trying to say something to me, I need you, because I can't do this on my own. And I mean, that was the turning point for me to say, first of all, I went to the tattoo place and made sure I put that on my ribs to make sure I never forget to the depths of which I came from. So yeah. Today, that is still in my ribs. If I see the beach, I'll prove it to you. But it's one of those where for me, it was, I never wanted to forget the depths of which I was at, so that when I did reach the summit and look back, I realized who I became, not what I went through, not all the negative, but look at it as a positive that, man, I went through this. I faced adversity. I had to build some strength, but look at who I am now. Look at who God allowed me to become. And that was the challenge. That was the hardest part. But for me, that's the whole purpose of this story, the whole purpose of this book. Because I want people to understand life's not easy. You're going to go through some challenges. You're going to go through some things that, quite frankly, you may not ever get answers to. but understanding that we may not understand why on this side of Earth. And so for me, it's a matter of just, man, if I can just trust in that he has a higher plan, a higher, you know, goal, things for us to do. And that's what I want to do. And if I can impact lives through this book, and just one person is impacted by this book, it's a success.
Well, I can tell you that one of those people who is going to read this book is going to be my son. I'm going to get a copy for me and a copy of My Private War for him, as so he can understand your story a little bit more than what has already been talked about, because there's a lot that people see on the surface, of course, with such a professional position that you've had as a Major League Baseball player. But your service and your life experiences, there's always so many layers that go under all of that, a lot of adversity. And that is an incredibly powerful story, Mitch. And I'm really grateful that you shared it with us here today. And I hope that people pick up your book to learn about that. And I'm certain that people will read this book and see their own story intersecting at times in yours, maybe the different details. But
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Good that you wrote that stuff down. You encourage other people to do that, write stuff down?
Absolutely. I think it's finding your outlet, whatever that is. And it's the healthy outlets. Right. And I say that with a smile, because, man, I tried all kinds of outlets and many of them did not work. And so I think finding people that you trust, finding people that you can confide in, finding people that you can have accountability with is huge, especially. And I always say this, don't keep yourself in kind of that bubble, because loneliness breeds temptation. And that's where, you know, some things will happen that you don't want to have happen. Trust me. And so for me, it was a matter of getting out of that. Just, hey, I'm going to hide all this. I'm going to hold my feelings in. I don't want people to know. I feel guilty. I feel shame. And realizing that, man, people have got my back. People who love me really care about me. And if I can just kind of just let them know, hey, I'm struggling. I need this. I need to talk to someone about that. That really helped me. And so if that's someone's going through that, I just encourage you to reach out to somebody, reach out to a loved one, reach out to a friend, go grab coffee, write stuff down. But don't sit on your by yourself and get caught up in the loneliness, because it's not going to go well. But you can get out of it. You can do it. If I did it, you can do it.
Well, thank you for your time today, Mitch. It's an honor to talk to you. I want to encourage people to go to mitchharris.com. They can learn more about your book. And thank you for sharing your story. It's a brave thing to do, and we're really grateful you did it with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. We're grateful for you. Mitch Harris, the author of My Private War. Please go to mitchharris.com. You can also check out My Private War on Amazon as well. And read this book, learn about this story, and maybe it'll empower you to feel that, you know, you have the ability to push through some adversity if you're experiencing that right now, or just read a really great story about a really, really wonderful American. That's a pretty awesome story. Didn't know that was going to develop that way. MitchHarris.com. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to get Ethan in here. We're going to do local and sports next. Don't go away.
Some call me the gangster of love.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Check it out.
And now, Cookie the Clown.
Said Cookie the Clown?
Yeah, it's just Cookie the Clown.
Sports okay. And local with our friend Ethan. I'm changing the game. We're doing 3 segments. Make that happen. Thank you. Because we're supposed to break now for the next one.
All right. Well, thank you guys. That was a great segment. And, Ethan, you know, I look forward to being back next week.
Best work.
It was my best work. It's not a question.
I wouldn't say that was the best open, though.
What was it? Cookie
just
what?
Cookie the Clown.
Cookie the Clown.
Yeah,
not wasn't
much to
your
it.
Most creative.
While you guys are talking about that, I will remind people that President Trump has officially arrived in Alaska for that summit with Vladimir Putin, and we will be watching for any details that might develop over the course of our show. They're supposed to meet starting at 2 o'clock our time, so it is upon us, essentially, that this meeting will take place. And if anything happens during the 2 o'clock hour, if President Trump comes out to speak, if they both come out to speak, we will cover it here live on 97.1 FM Talk.
And
Cookie Monster, go ahead.
That's great and all, but compared to things
that's the
that
opposite
you can,
of local.
Things that you can do in St. Louis this weekend?
What? Not,
what can you do?
Do you remember when
tell us.
Remember when Rod Stewart played earlier?
I do. Was that a foreshadowing?
No, not intentionally at least.
Are you guys Rod Stewart fans?
No.
So there's this one song that I consistently put in the playlist, and the only reason I do is because the music video is him just like cradling this like probably what 5-year-old
son?
Kid? I don't know, but he's like not a baby. He's like at least 5 or 6 years old. He's just singing with this kid in his arms
and that's
as they're
the
driving
video.
In the bed of a pickup truck the whole time.
Is
so
he
anyway,
coming to town?
He's coming to town. Yes, he's here tonight at
he's
the Hollywood
listening right now.
Casino Amphitheater. Tickets,
you think
range.
Rod Stewart comes to St. Louis and is like, I wonder what the local conservative talk radio station's talking about.
Well, can't imagine he wouldn't.
He hates us if he was.
Hi, we're big fans.
We love you, Rod.
Anywhere from $30 to $741.15.
Do you get to be rocked by Rod Stewart if you pay that much money?
Excuse me?
You are on stage in the back of a pickup truck being rocked like a little boy for $750.
People love Rod Stewart.
Yeah, some people do.
People love. Like, that guy has had an enormous career. A ton of hits, and he has a huge fan base. So welcome to St. Louis, Mr.
I just
Stewart.
Told Ethan out that we were talking about this story, and he said, are you a Rod Stewart fan? I said, I just don't really care. Like, when his songs come on, I don't hate them.
It's a little bit earlier than our...
It's
just a little
us.
Bit earlier
Not
than
too
ours.
Far earlier than us, though.
Our moms might have liked Rod Stewart.
Hmm.
Are you going to Rod Stewart?
Am I?
Okay.
He's being cradled by him.
Paying that $700 ticket.
The Brood Arts Festival is tonight on Cherokee Street. It's actually from 1 to... What time? It's 1:30. It's going on right now. It already started.
Better hurry.
Sampling a bunch of different brood drinks, like I said, on
Brood
Cherokee Street.
Do you think they're
also,
listening?
There's like also live music.
Like a brewery. I thought I meant like a...
Not like a cauldron.
Group of...
brood.
No, like a group of people. Isn't that like a...
A brood?
Yeah.
B-R-O-O-D?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
He said brood festival.
I think brood of witches is what I was referring to.
I don't know that.
So that would be the same thing.
So if you want to get your Friday started a little bit, your weekend started a little bit early, go check out the Brood Arts Festival. Here's my favorite one. There is something going on out west in O'Fallon, Missouri. That's O'Fallon, Missouri. Tacos and Tequila Festival with, hear this, Lil Jon, T.I.
What?
And Chingy and Chamillionaire.
Ah, Chamillionaire is going to be there. I wasn't really interested until you said Chamillionaire.
Chamillionaire?
I don't know. It's C-H-A. Millionaire.
Do you know how to say...
It's Chamillionaire.
Do you say Chameleon?
Well,
you
I just said Chingy before, so I just had the ch sound.
He was also out there singing earlier, Karma, 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 Chamillion.
That's the most Ryan Wiggins thing that you ever said, Ethan.
That is...
I just said a ch word. What do you want from me?
This is early. We normally in 2 o'clock hour.
I didn't think this was a professional broadcasting experience.
I said Chameleon.
Did you guys grow up as fans of T.I. and Lil Jon? Is that your guys' age of music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the club? There is a lot
That's
of that.
That's 50 Cent.
I'm actually talking about in the club.
Physically in
Not
the club.
Not the club.
Understood.
But in the club, played in the club a lot in our time.
I'm just confused.
Dun, dun. So okay. Confusing when they played at barbecues.
When I was in college at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and in a mass communications class, I believe it was video production, we had to create a news package. And Chingy was doing a concert at SIUE, and I have a news package that I did on Chingy.
I'll bring that in.
I wish I should find it.
Was he with Chamillionaire as well?
I'm not familiar with
He was only Chathousandaire at that time. Thank you very much. I'm done. You can take over from here.
So not fair. What else is going on this weekend? You guys know how they do the hot air balloon festival every year in St.
Louis?
That
seems like such a great idea.
Well, now I guess there's one in Staunton this weekend too.
Cool.
So if you're, if one hot air balloon festival is not enough for you and you're in the greater St. Louis region,
Staunton.
Go to Staunton.
Get it's on 55 and
starts
head
at
north.
3 o'clock and ends at 10 o'clock tonight. And there's going to be all kinds of different things. It looks like there's going to be some. I guess they're going to be giving people rides and them food and drinks.
Ooh,
all
I
kinds
don't
of fun stuff.
Go
going.
In it. No,
Why not?
That
Why?
Would be the best part.
No, gravity.
The glow. The balloon glows are fun too.
That's
just watching them.
That's all I want to do is look at them.
Well, then you need to go to Staunton.
I think I will. Usually I go there for sports.
You ever been to the one they do in Marine, Illinois?
No, but I've heard it's good.
It is fantastic. It's really good.
No, they did other ones.
Is
besides.
That like a September one?
I can't remember when it is. We went multiple years in a row when my kids were young, and I think COVID stopped us.
So I love the thought of going to a balloon glow like that. I don't know if you guys experienced this. There is a huge mental block for me from me being at home and doing whatever we want at home, which includes wonderful versions of nothing, to getting to the place where we're bringing six people into a place like a balloon glow and driving there and figuring out parking. And now I think about leaving in the midst of a whole bunch of other people trying to leave a parking lot. It causes me a level of anxiety where it's like, I don't want to do that. But every time I go to one of these things, I'm so glad I did it.
That's why places like Marine, or Staunton in this case, are great to go to events like that.
Do you just park in a field?
Yeah, well, like for fireworks or something that you can see from far away, going to a small town to do it is the best. We like going to Muscoda for fireworks for that reason.
Yeah, I would consider that. So Staunton, does it say where it's at in Staunton specifically this weekend?
Clear your throat.
Is it, like, how close
please?
To the Hardee's?
Trying to find where I put the paper. Oh, here it is. It's over here. Fireman's Park is what it says, which is on Montgomery Street in Staunton.
We're in proximity to the Hardee's.
What? That is so not fair.
Is that next to the Hardee's? Is that east, west, north, or south of the
Hardee's? There's a really nice nursery there.
Really,
and by nursery, I'm
out.
Talking about plants. And there's a Hardee's. And then I know where the high school is and the grade school is.
Tethered balloon rides are $20 and $15 for kids under 12.
I am being super served in the algorithm an ad to go to... The desert that is just south of Vegas, whichever desert that is.
Mojave.
Is it?
I have no idea.
I think that's what I had in my head. I was going to joke that. Get out
Death
of my
Valley.
Wavelength, buddy. But there is a festival, and it's called Rise. And John Mayer is the headliner on Sunday night. I think it's October 5th. And the concert, the festival is called Rise.
And it is the Mojave.
I was thinking it was Mojave.
I wanted to say that,
and then I didn't want it to act Mojave Desert to actually be in Africa or something. Which, guys, I don't do geography. Leave me alone. But this concert is, it's called Rise, and John Mayer is my fave, and I've traveled to see him before. But they do a lantern festival a la Tangled Rapunzel, which I have said is the most beautiful animated scene in the history of animation. My girls have a gigantic fathead thing on their wall.
Careful, Biden.
Look, fat. This big scene on their wall that is the lantern scene from Tangled. I just think it's so beautiful. And I think those lanterns are so beautiful. And now there's this concert that involves the lantern thing, but like en masse, a ton of lanterns. And John Mayer.
Two questions.
And I'm thinking about going.
First one, do the lanterns light up on your kid's wall?
No.
That's pretty lame. And two, have you ever been to Vegas?
No.
Vegas is really cool.
So like, I'd be checking so many boxes.
Vegas, there is, when I say there's nothing like Vegas in the country.
I believe it.
There's
nothing like it.
Because I think if we went, we would stay in Vegas and they have shuttles that go back and forth. And I mean, the John Mayer concert is Sunday night, October 5th, I think it is. So I could go there and I could fly home and do the show on Monday.
You should do it. The Mojave Desert, it says, is known for its unique flora and fauna, including the iconic Joshua Tree. The Joshua Tree is an album by John Mayer.
No, it's not.
That's false.
By YouTube. Even I knew that.
You can make up stuff about geography and Vegas, and the one thing I am concerned about this. Are you looking at the concert, Rise, the festival? Did you pull it up?
No. I'm looking at the Mojave Desert.
I don't want to go do this and have this experience, but have it be some like new agey spiritual thing where I'm like, I just think they're pretty. I don't want to sign myself up for something that I'm looking around going, I'm not one of these people.
Well, it's a festival in the desert, so there's always that risk that you're
running. For sure. Ryan, I want you to look at it and tell me what you think it is by the end of the show.
Hold on.
If I should go.
Are you're asking for advice from Ryan on this?
Well, I think you understand what I'm talking about with the spiritual kind of weirdness, like new agey type of thing. I don't want to go in the middle. I don't want to put myself in the middle
so
of
that. So you're asking for serious Ryan.
What's the name of the concert again?
Rise.
It's a festival. Just Rise, John Mayer.
Okay.
We don't need to Google Live here. You got another story?
Just a couple other things that are going on in the city this week, or this weekend, I guess. Jersey Boy starts on Monday. It's the final show of the summer at the Muni. And then the Festival of Little Hills is returning to St. Charles this weekend in Frontier Park, right on the river, and it's going on
all weekend.
What
is the Festival of Little Hills?
The Festival of Little Hills has been going on since 1971 in St. Charles, and it's meant to just celebrate the super rich history of St. Charles. A bunch of different things going on, arts and crafts vendors, live music, a bunch of different foods, just meant to be kind of a big community gathering. Cultural heritage and community spirit of St. Charles.
It's like right on the river there, on the Missouri River.
Right on the river, yeah. Super pretty down there on Main Street. So if you don't have anything going on, I would recommend that.
I just got turn-by-turn directions through Staunton to get to Fireman's
Park. Stop it. Yeah. Wait, from the Arby's?
No, from the Hardee's.
Hardee's.
They don't have an Arby's, Ethan. It's a Hardee's.
You got to go to Alton for that.
I haven't been to Staunton since 2017, so forgive me.
Very specific.
Played soccer.
Go all the way down Main Street. Turn left before you go over the railroad tracks. I love it.
You can't make that up.
I love it.
Make it up. Last thing I'll mention here real quickly. Still waiting to hear further updates on the Boeing union strike that I brought up last week. Both sides still having not come to an agreement yet. And meetings still going on. But this is the end of the second week of the Boeing union strike.
It's impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the sports and local. How'd you feel about that Mitch Harris conversation?
Oh, man, it was awesome. So I had the opportunity to interview him last week and talk a little bit about the book.
This is such a Ryan Wiggins thing to do. I talked to him first. Okay, Ethan, go on with it. Where can people listen to your podcast?
Not even going to mention it.
Yes, you should right now. Well, this is your opportunity. I'm setting you up.
Well, it was. This was actually not even my thing. It was like filling in on Matrix Midwest with Randy Carricker. And it was cool. It was very cool to get to speak to him and to hear a little bit just about his story. And the cool part is that this was a little bit more of a long form. So you got to hear him go even more into detail on some of these things and just how tough life has been for him at some times.
On the one you did?
No. On this one. On this interview.
Oh. Yeah, I told Brad, I go, I'm going to go long on this one. No, I just wanted the opportunity.
Smart to do so. And so I really enjoyed it.
The Lou Sports.
This is not on the Lou Sports talk. But
if people wanted to listen to it and just look for it and listen to all the episodes
of the Lou Sports talk,
they could.
They definitely could.
You should have them on.
We might. Actually, Brad was mentioning that earlier. I'm like, this would be a really good off-season guest.
Where do people get your Lou Sports Talk podcast?
So if you want to listen to it, it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts at the Lou Sports Talk. And then we are now doing video episodes on STL Sports Central's YouTube page. So if you want to watch... I don't know why people enjoy watching.
It's where Ryan gets all his sports information. Out of 5 stars, Ryan, your review?
Oh, it's 5. That's basically what Wiggins America is on the weekends.
You just listen to that?
I go, hey, check out this from the Lou Sports Talk podcast, and then I just play that
the
for
number
an hour.
Our number one source for sports information.
Thank you.
The Lou Sports Talk.
Releases new episodes every Wednesday morning.
I would tell you need to go check it out. It's good stuff. All right. Thank you, Ethan. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Even if it doesn't always seem like it.
Most of you, I feel the appreciation from.
We do.
Most of you.
In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll get you back in here if you are able to for next question. If you want to send us your questions for the show, you can ask us anything. Hit us up on the Andy Fry YouTube live chat and throw a comment in there. What's the this is the first time we've had this conversation. What's the progress right now on people being able to text?
Well, I think that exists.
But do we know how to make it
readable? And we never will.
We're going to have that opportunity soon. I took training, I think.
I did too. We did a good job.
It could be accessible right now.
Get on the YouTube live chat comments and tell us how much you'd like to text us. And tell us who the best American president ever was. Of course, that's the poll. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Donald Trump, or someone else. We'll be right back.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Well, as we've been reporting, it is Putin-Trump in Alaska Day, and this should be happening here very, very shortly. Brett Baier is there on Air Force One. He was with President Trump on Air Force One and was interviewing
him.
Good
afternoon from Joint Base Elmendorf here. We just landed Air Force One. Right now, the president is meeting with several dignitaries, including Senators Sullivan and the governor here. They have just gone onto the plane. Obviously, Vladimir Putin is still not landed yet. We're told he will land in a few minutes. But it was an interesting ride. 6+ hours, and during that time, I did sit down with President Trump and asked him a whole host of questions about his expectations, about even asked him about Hillary Clinton and the Nobel Peace Prize statement by Jessica Tarloff and that podcast. But here's a little bit about what he's looking at as far as landing here and what he expects. Take a listen.
So what are your expectations? I mean, is the goal of this meeting in Alaska to walk away with a ceasefire?
So when you talk about deals, it's all I do my whole life. I do deals. You never know. You don't like to have too many expectations. You want it because you have to weave and bob and you don't know what's going to happen. But we're going to go and find out. I'd like to see a ceasefire. I wouldn't be thrilled if I didn't get it, but everyone says you're not going to get the ceasefire. It'll take place on the second meeting. The second meeting is going to be very, but I'm not going to be happy with that. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to be, I won't be happy if I walk away without some form of a ceasefire. Now, I say this, and I've said it from the beginning, this is really setting the table today. We're going to have another meeting if things work out, which will be very soon, or we're not going to have any more meetings at all, maybe ever.
So there you have the president. That's on Air Force One. Brett Baier sitting across a desk. You can see the presidential seal just behind President Trump, and it's just above an airplane window. Got to get that thing in there. And Brett Baier is asking him these questions to find out what the expectations are. And President Trump continues to measure our expectations with his expectations, which is, I want the killing to stop, but I'm not going in with confident predictions to come out that may not materialize. And that's the first time I've heard him say something to the effect of, if this doesn't work now, we might not ever meet again.
This is a little bit of a controversial take on this. I don't like the peace Nobel Peace Prize talk right now. I want that to not be a part of the story until the story's done.
I don't really think it's a huge part of it. I don't think the Nobel Peace Prize, I honestly don't think people on our side of the aisle give it much credit at all. I don't think people care about it. It's Netanyahu presented across a dinner table to Donald Trump a while back his nomination for him for the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't think that anybody on our side of the aisle is putting any weight into that. I think the story here is that Hillary Clinton said something positive.
That is a story, for sure. That actually was a huge surprise to see this morning. But I just don't like it when this is framed as, well, this is about Trump's legacy.
I don't think people are framing it that way. And I
especially hope he's not.
That's kind of been my whole point the entire day. He is not in any way, shape, or form framing this like he's the Superman here. He is repeatedly telling people, are you hearing him say that he's like that he's Mr. Nobel Peace Prize here? Is that what you're hearing
him
say?
No, I'm not hearing him say it. But whenever it's part of the conversation, it's unavoidable that people are thinking about it. And I just think it hurts the negotiation. I think Putin obviously wants this to be about himself. That is obvious. Everybody knows that Putin loves Putin. Trump loves Trump. It's okay. But when Trump gets involved, I don't want Putin to think that the story's not about Putin and it ruined the negotiation.
But I don't think if Vladimir Putin was worried about a popularity contest, he would never be meeting him in the United States of America to have this conversation. I think Vladimir Putin wants a way out, but he wants a way out that doesn't make him feel like he's got to hang his head while he does it, because he's not going to do that. My personal opinion, and I'd love to, I think I have asked Jim Carafano about this, but I think conversations of Nobel Peace Prizes is like fodder for the little people to talk about. I don't think that makes any difference to anybody who's actually involved in these conversations to try to somehow or another garner peace. It's just, it's something that certainly we can spend time talking about, and we could sit here and make very impassioned and logical arguments as to why President Trump should probably have multiple peace prizes. But I don't think it matters. And the history of the honor is so degraded with what they've done in the past. I mean, look at what Barack Obama has a peace prize for.
Yeah, it's, being in office for 8 months.
It's a joke.
Ridiculous.
It's an absolute joke. So I don't think that my personal opinion is it's not even a factor in the conversations that are going to happen in Alaska.
With this negotiation, it's amazing again to see that, and part of it's just because he's the president of the United States. Any president gets some of this. But Trump is on another level, that if he is involved in anything, even if he tries not to be, he's still the story. He has got to be the most famous person in the entire world, maybe in world history.
That was the argument against the mugshot. A mugshot is intended to notify the public of an offender. And people rightfully were going, do we need to tell anybody on the face of the planet what Donald Trump looks like?
I think I know what he looks
like. Not only does everybody know who he is, but he's not a normal looking dude. it's not like Donald Trump, you know, Mike Johnson could be walking around Ruler Foods and you wouldn't go, oh, is that the Speaker of the House? You wouldn't do that. Donald Trump's going nowhere subtly.
Yeah.
Ever. Neither is Barack Obama.
That's true. Although Trump does look, he just has a look. Even when he was younger, you know, you watch him on Oprah back in the 80s. You're like, that dude just looks different.
Even his aesthetic, his hair's weird. It's grown on me over, like, I get it now. But I realize that he has marketed himself. He's branded himself. He talks about his hair. It's not like it's not an untouchable thing. Just ask Jimmy Fallon. But his hair is part of his signature. It's part of his brand. I was looking for, if you get onto the Annie Fry YouTube channel today, you'll see I make a thumbnail every day for the YouTube video. And it's got Mount Rushmore in the background, but it's also got Donald Trump sticking in there. I'll just pop it up here real quick because it's kind of funny. He's pointing. When I searched on my stock photo website that I go to and I searched Donald Trump, it was outrageous the things that they popped up there. A lot of them were just kind of like a swoop of orange hair.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So he has this entire time, like the consistency of his look has existed back to the Oprah days when Oprah loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bat signal goes up and it'll just be like a little swoop with like maybe the duck lips on the side, a silhouette. Everybody knows who it is.
It's an image. All right, it's 2:00. And that means that Putin and Trump should begin their meeting very shortly. Rubio and Witkoff will be joining President Trump at this meeting. And anything that breaks during our show here on 97.1 FM Talk, we will bring straight to you. We'll be right back.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.